Views expressed in the following program are not necessarily those of this station, its owners, staff, or management. The following paid program is sponsored by Azorian. Wondering who's in your cyberspace? Then you're in the right place. Welcome to the Charles Tendell Show, the show where you can learn how to protect your online business and personal information. Charles Tendell is a cybersecurity consultant and ethical hacker, and he's here to answer all of your cyber concerns.
What's up, everybody? It's Peter Boyles. It's 5 p.m. Get ready for Hacked. You got problems with computers, kids are being bullied, somebody's messing with you. How about dating online? Charles Tendell forgot more about computers than most people know. Get ready, ladies and gentlemen, here's Charles.
Thank you, Peter. And ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be something different. We're going to do Throwback Thursday on Hacked, the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM. If you've got questions, maybe I've got a couple of answers, go over to charlestendell.com or, sorry, new website, thecharlestendellshow.com. I'll eventually get used to saying that one and fill out one of the contact forms or shoot me an email to charles@thecharlestendellshow.com. Today, we're going to be talking all about Linux. And I know that's a scary, shocking kind of topic for most people. Don't run away. Don't tune off. Don't change the channel. It's something interesting about Linux. It's more secure, and it's probably in more places than you think it is. And joining me today is an old friend of mine who actually has been on one of the other shows, and I've been on his show in the past, and it's always been fun. It's always been informative. My buddy Larry Bushy is joining me on the show today. Larry, welcome to Hacked. How are you, man?
Hey, I am excited to be on your show, Charles. As you said, it seems like it's been a long time, and it has been a long time since we've been on the air together, and this is going to be great.
I think so, too, man. I think so, too. And it is kind of a switch up there. I mean, we were together over on Craig's show, over on Computer America, and then I was over on your show hanging out doing different shows there. And it's now, I guess it's come full circle. It's now time for Charles to try this whole mic and some airtime thing.
Yes, you can be the host this time around. How's that?
You guys are giving me all the work. So, Larry, we've got some time in this first segment, so tell my listeners who you are. I know who you are. I know you're a cool dude. I know you've got the Going Linux podcast, but what makes Larry Bushy Larry Bushy?
Well, it all started long, long ago in a country far, far away. No, that's a whole different thing.
I heard it was real, exactly. All of it. It was true.
Yes, exactly. No, I'm a Linux and open source advocate, among other things. I'm a technology guy, a computer geek, all of those sorts of things. And I have, as you mentioned, a podcast of my own, the Going Linux podcast, on which I help people to adopt Linux, move to Linux from other inferior operating systems like Windows and OS X, and help them to make that transition and be able to use an alternative operating system like Linux to get things done.
Right on. So wait. You said OS X. Is it OS X or OS X?
Whatever. I don't care either way.
Well,
one of those big red, big crosses that go kind of corner ways. That's what
it just fell over. So, okay, so this show is all about Linux. It's all about, you know, how people are currently using it and people not realizing that they're actually using it. What is Linux, first and foremost?
Yeah, a really good question. So Linux is an operating system just like Windows or OS X or OS X or that fruit flavor operating system, whatever you want to call it. So it's a software program, a collection of software programs that runs your computer. And it is something that is, as you said at the open, probably in a lot more places than you think it is. It is based in something from way back in the 70s called Unix that used to run all of the big iron IBM machines, the computers that took up an entire room. Well, that's what OS X came out of. It's also what Linux came out of. And so they have a common root. But the places that you'll find Linux these days are in a Chromebook, in an Android phone.
All Android, yep.
A Raspberry Pi. Yeah, all of these have the Linux, the kernel of the Linux operating system, as the basis of those operating systems for those particular devices.
Well, that's something else that most people don't realize. And you say OS X or OS 10, but most people just know it as Mac versus PC. And most right. Macs are running, and I think I've been yelled at this more than once, they're running a Unix-flavored kernel. I think it was FreeBSD, or at least an old school yeah. version, like you said. But some other places where it's at, it's in like home. It's in like most 90% of routers out there run right. a kind of a bastardized version of Linux. And what most people don't realize is
on the radio, by the way.
Which one? I don't know. My station manager is probably listening. So if I do something wrong, yeah. he'll zap me with something.
Whatever. Yeah.
You know? But the other places where it's at are in places where people really don't seem to realize it. They're in like most web servers, so you know most websites run Linux, yeah. and the ones I was kind of doing a study a little bit ago about the last major breaches that have happened, and so far two of the three of them, like Tumblr and LinkedIn, or not LinkedIn, Tumblr and one of the other ones, are actually running on a Windows platform. So it kind of yeah. lends itself to Linux as kind of more secure.
Yeah, it is more secure, and as you observed, it runs the internet, essentially. There are Windows servers out there, and there are other kinds of servers out there. In fact, there are still some Unix servers out there that run websites, run basically the internet, but most of the computers that are running the internet or running websites that run the internet are running Linux. And in fact, many of the corporate websites and web servers that are internal to corporations are running Linux as well, because it's more stable, because it's more secure, and because it gives you the ability to, as a user of the software, it gives you the ability, if you have the skills, to modify it to do whatever it is you want it to do. So if you are a computer developer, a software developer, or a server admin, mm-hmm. and you know what you're doing, you can actually modify Linux
to do whatever it is you want.
That it wasn't originally designed to do, yeah.
Right. Well, Larry, we're coming up on our first break. So if you're just joining, this is Hack, the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM. We're talking all things Linux. It sounds a little scary, but guess what? It's not. You've used it. You just don't realize it. Don't go anywhere. This is Hack, the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
Are you retired or planning for retirement? Hi, I'm Linda Gardner, host of Your Money, Your Retirement, Saturday morning at 10 on Denver's Money Talk. You'll hear timely topics that really matter, like Social Security, IRAs, 401ks, Roths, estate planning, protecting your investments in today's markets, and we answer questions from people like you. Tune in Saturday morning at 10 to hear me, Linda Gardner, host of Your Money, Your Retirement.
Hi, my name is Sarah, and I wanted to share some of my experiences with Go Sober. I am a business owner here in Colorado and had been thinking about going sober literally for about 4 years. One of my biggest choices about going with Go Sober was that I'm a pretty private person, and when my alcohol addiction started, it started very privately. And when my rehabilitation started with Go Sober, it allowed me to rehabilitate privately. And having the flexibility of not having to go into a treatment program, going away from my family, away from my job. The infusions allowed me to put a reset button on loving myself again. My first infusion, I could go right past that neighborhood liquor store and not even think about stopping in and grabbing a bottle of wine. What's next for me is rediscovering all those things that I've lost.
Call Go Sober at 303-827-4837 or visit their website at gosober.org.
Are you buying a car? Are you excited about wandering all over town to find it? Or looking forward to wasting time on national websites with cars for sale on some lot or backyard in New Jersey? Well, here's a local resource, ColoradoAutoMall.com. Before you waste one more dollar, one more gallon of gas, or one more minute of your time online, go to ColoradoAutoMall.com, where local dealers show their local inventory one click away. It's virtual, it's user-friendly, and it's loaded with cars, trucks, boats, RVs, and motorcycles, new and used, from local dealers. ColoradoAutoMall.com.
We now return to the Charles Tendell Show on KDMT, Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
Talk about Throwback Thursday. Good song. Welcome back. This is Hacked, the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM. If you've got a question for me or my guest, 303-632-4160. I'm talking to Larry Bushy, and we're talking about Linux. Sounds scary. Sounds crazy. Everybody's like, oh, no, not Linux again. Well, it's in more places than you think it is, and it really isn't nearly as terrifying as most people think. My guest, again, is Larry Bushy. So, Larry, right before the break, we were talking about the different places where Linux is that people don't really realize it is.
And doorbells and refrigerators and thermostats and Google search and Chromebooks. Yeah, it's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
It's literally everywhere. Yeah, and there are different kinds of Linux as well. There's the things that are in the doorbells and the refrigerators and the thermostats, which is something called embedded Linux, which is a stripped-down version of Linux to run those tiny little devices. They really don't have to do too much. They just have to, you know, allow you to change the temperature and allow it to be accessed from a website, as a thermostat might be. And it can do everything all the way up to running an entire enterprise website for a large Fortune 500 corporation, as servers do. Yeah. And more importantly for our listeners, you can run it on your own computer.
Oh. Now, there's a good question. Now, my station manager actually whispered in my ear during the break about where you can get it, because apparently he's learning things, and he's sitting at his computer, and he's Googling, and he's looking at these things, and he's seeing all these different places where he can find Linux. Now, when you put it on your own computer, how do you know which Linux is right for you, or is it just Linux?
Yeah, there are literally thousands of different varieties of Linux, as I just mentioned, to do specific things for specific people. So if you want a version to run your corporate web server, you probably want an enterprise version of Red Hat Linux, because that's what it's designed to do, and that's one of the ones that come with corporate support built in to what you pay for Red Hat. And on the other hand, if you want to install it on your five-year-old ThinkPad, let's just go with that. You've got a five-year-old ThinkPad. It's on its last legs. Let's say it came with Windows XP or maybe Windows Vista, and, you know, it's starting to run slowly, or maybe you've had a major virus infection with Windows, and you're really just tired of messing around with it. Don't throw away that ThinkPad. Don't give it away. You can install Linux on it, and probably as a brand new user of Linux, you want to look for something called Ubuntu, U-B-U-N-T-U. It's probably the most popular, certainly the most recognized consumer version of Linux out there for use on a personal computer. And there are several varieties of it as well. So I would recommend for a brand new user Ubuntu Mate, and Mate is spelled the South American way, M-A-T-E. It is a very user-friendly version of Linux that is designed specifically for new users, and it is very familiar to people who have used Windows in the past. It's got a similar sort of interface. It's got a beautiful desktop. It's got all of the software that you need to run on it right out of the box for free. You don't have to pay for anything, so there's a word process. And not just trialware. It's the full version of an Office suite. It's got a media player. It's got a web browser, of course, and a mail client. So it comes out of the box with all of this stuff. And you may be wondering how much this thing costs, but it's not as expensive as you might think. But take a look at ubuntumate.com. And give me a second because I think there's a hyphen in there somewhere.
Well, the thing about it, that it's going to come up with most users in any event. I mean, in all of the embedded versions of Linux that you see out there, they're in thermostats. So there's a piffy user interface that people are liking. People are familiar and are comfortable with the Mac or the OS X or OS X interface. Yeah. They're comfortable with the embedded versions and the streamlined, the pretty versions. But when you start talking about like Ubuntu and any of the other distros that are out there, and that's what they're called, or distributions for anybody who I didn't explain it to. But when you start looking at all those other ones, that seems way more complex. That seems like it's going to be a lot of work. Why would an individual want to do more work, or is it less work? Can they do more work to get a better system? Is that what the appeal is to running Linux as opposed to going out and getting more Windows?
Good question. Before I answer that, and I will answer that in just a second, I want to correct that website. It's Ubuntu-Mate, so Ubuntu-Mate.org, O-R-G, as in non-profit. So Ubuntu-Mate.org. So why would somebody want to even use this thing? Well, first of all, because it is more secure than other operating systems, than Windows in particular, that's reason number one. Another good reason is because you want to breathe new life into your old computer. It's perfectly good hardware. It's just not running like it used to. Like I said, maybe you've gotten fed up of dealing with all of the virus infections, or maybe Windows 10 is giving you fits and starts, and you try to install it on that older computer or take advantage of the free upgrade, and it has turned off some things, like maybe your audio or your video driver, worst case.
Maybe
the version of the software that you've been using to do X, whatever X is, the critical thing that you do, maybe it's not available for Windows 10. And when you went through the free, in quotes, upgrade, you ended up with everything you needed headache. Except that critical piece of software.
Uh-huh. Well, see, that's the other thing that I hear about a lot of people. And I actually was talking to someone online recently where she upgraded her computer. She went with the free Windows 10, and nothing worked. The Wi-Fi didn't work. Her audio didn't work. The screen kind of flickered, and she was frustrated. And she was upset, and I had to resist the urge, right, to say, look, you need an alternate operating system. Windows is putting, you know, good money after bad over and over again, but you need an alternate operating system. And I hesitated recommending Linux, or my personal favorite is Elementary, but which is a Ubuntu variant. But I hesitated on recommending it to her because it's one of those things where do you get, like, you get the Office suite, but is it all compatible? You get all of the same tools that you would get, but does it all work with the mainstream stuff? Does it work with Office? And does it work with, you know, the all-important Facebook?
Right. Well, anything that's on the web, like Facebook or Google Search or what, name a website, it'll all work in Linux because, you know, you've got the Chrome browser, you've got the Firefox browser, you've got the Opera browser. They all exist for Linux just like they exist for Windows and OS X. So don't worry about that. Now, as far as the installed applications are concerned, Microsoft Office Online, the Online 365 version or whatever it is, is a browser-based application. It is going to work on your Linux computer just as it does on your Windows or OS X computer. So, again, don't worry about that. But the installed software, there's a LibreOffice is the version of an Office suite that's included with Linux. It's available for Mac and OS X as well. So if you want to try it out on your computer today, you could do that and see how compatible it is. They're designed to be compatible. They're not absolutely 100%. I'd say 90 to 99% compatible. But give it a try. There's LibreOffice, there's OpenOffice, there's a number of Office suites out there. I'd go with one of those two because they're the two that come standard on Linux. And if you're thinking about trying Linux, why not try the software that comes on Linux on your Windows machine or on your OS X machine before you go the whole hog and switch over to Linux, or even try Linux. That's the other thing you can do. You can try it without installing it on your existing hardware.
Well, I mean, so putting it on your existing hardware, that sounds simple enough, but what's the easiest way? Is there an easy way to switch from one to the other? I mean, you've got, I've been through a couple of installs, and I've been through some unattended ones. I've, you know, in the sysadmin world, you just kind of put it in and walk away. But is it that simple still? Can people, how do people get rid of the, get rid of Windows, or Windows, sorry, and switch to Linux?
Yeah, well, first of all, Linux is free. You can download it, and it's legally free. It's not one of those, you know, sketchy.
Kind of free?
Kind of free. It's free for you. For you, a special price. it is legitimately free. It's developed by volunteers and as a result, and many of them corporate employees of the Fortune 500 companies that develop the Linux operating system. And it's offered for free. So you go to ubuntumate.org and you go to their download page and you download something. It will have instructions on how to put that onto a USB stick or onto a CD if your computers still use CDs or DVDs. And then what you do, follow the instructions that are right there on the page, and you start your computer with a special keystroke, which keystroke it is depends on your computer, which boots to that device, whether it's a CD-ROM or whether it's a USB, and you boot into that, it will start the Linux session running. So you're running Linux at that point. It hasn't installed anything. It's running off that USB stick. And it's running right out of your computer's memory. It doesn't make any changes to your computer unless you tell it to. There'll be a nice little install icon right there on the desktop. But you can use it. You can try it out. You can try the Office suite. You can try the web browser. You can see if it works with all your computer's hardware, like your wireless card and your sound card. Make sure all that works before you commit to installing it. And then when you decide you want to install it, you don't have to completely wipe out your computer, the existing operating system. Of course, you can, but you don't have to. You can run Linux alongside of Windows, and unlike on OS X, when you want to use Windows alongside of the Mac operating system, you've got to go out and purchase some additional software, or you've got to go through some special hoops to make it to get it to install. And you don't have to do all of that. You just click a little install icon from the desktop when you're trying it from the live environment. That's what it's called when you boot into a CD or into a USB. And then it will ask you, do you want to install this alongside your existing operating system or do you want to replace your existing operating system? And for the newest users, if you're not all that sure you want to replace it, go ahead and install
try
it alongside, and then the next time you boot, you'll have your choice.
Okay, well, so, I mean, this whole, the flash disk idea sounds like relatively simple, but most people aren't going to go to those great lengths. So there's, you're going to have to maybe have that friend or somebody else that's out there to actually create this USB stick for you. Or if I remember correctly, I think Ubuntu themselves has where you can order them, and then it's like $5 and they ship it out to you and they do all that other high-speed stuff. But, I mean, in most computers, is there there's not any additional configuration that needs to be done for them to plug in the USB disk. They should just be able to plug it in, push the power button, and hopefully the computer boots up. But, you know, Larry, I think we're about to come up against another break, so we'll pick it up after we jump over this one and get back to it. But it's embedded devices. It should be relatively simple to get on your computer. But don't go anywhere. This is Hacked, the Charles Tindall Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM. Talking to Larry Bushy about all things Linux and how it's not as scary as you think. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
SRN News. I'm Keith Peters in Washington. The Army says three soldiers are dead and six are missing after their truck was washed from a low water crossing at a swollen creek at Fort Hood in central Texas. Three soldiers were rescued. Army aircraft, canine search teams, swift water rescue watercraft, and heavy trucks are being used in the search for the six missing soldiers. There have been two military performance jet crashes today, one of them fatal. A Blue Angels jet crashed near Nashville. Officials say the pilot was unable to eject. It happened during practice for a weekend air show. Earlier, a member of the U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds ejected before his plane crashed in Colorado following a flyover for the Air Force Academy graduation where President Obama spoke. On Wall Street, the Dow by 49 points, the NASDAQ rose 19, the S&P advanced 6, and oil at $49.09 a barrel. More details at srnnews.com.
This is Jeff Thompson, the retirement jock and investment advisor and financial planner for JF Thompson Wealth Management. Please join me on Denver's Money Talk Radio as we chat about how to protect your investment portfolio and overall financial plan. So listen to me, Jeff Thompson, the retirement jock, 8 a.m. on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 a.m. KDMT, where I coach you on how money really works.
Jeff Thompson, the retirement jock, weekday mornings at 8 on KDMT, Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
What if I told you there's a wealth management firm that offers a 100% satisfaction guarantee? Think it doesn't exist? Think again.
Hi, I'm Mo Ansari, president of Compaq Asset Management. When you start a new relationship with Compaq, we'll create your customized investment portfolio and financial plan dedicated to help you reach your goals. Try us out for a year. If you're not happy for any reason, you'll get all of the management and maintenance fee that you paid refunded. This is our 100% satisfaction guarantee.
Dial #250 on your cell phone and use the keyword talk to Mo to find out more. Again, from your cell phone, dial #250, keyword talk to Mo. Satisfaction guarantee doesn't apply to fees and commissions charged by third parties for such things as insurance products or mutual fund redemptions. It also doesn't apply to any market losses which might occur in an account. For additional information regarding this guarantee, please see the disclosure brochure available at the time you enroll or upon request.
Compaq Asset Management is a registered investment advisor, funds custodian, Fidelity Institutional Wealth Services, member FINRA, SIPC.
If you own a small business, you know that bookkeeping is tedious, and frankly, it's not how you want to spend your time. Let Winter Mountains Bookkeeping and Tax step in and customize a plan to fit your company's needs. Whether it's payroll use, sales and withholding taxes, financial statements, or banking, Winter Mountains Bookkeeping and Tax will free you up to focus on growing your business. Ask about their offer for free tax prep for next year, too. Call Winter Mountains Bookkeeping and Tax at 720-998-1830 or visit wintermountainstax.com. That's 720-998-1830. Winter Mountains Bookkeeping and Taxes done right.
Now, back to the Charles Tendell Show on KDMT, Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
Little green bag has a little bit of a different meaning now in Colorado. Welcome back. This is Hacked, the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM. If you got a question for me or my guest, 303-632-4160. We're talking about the all-important and hyper, sometimes scary, and what people would misunderstand as complex Linux. The Linux operating system, how it is all around you. It's embedded in your smart televisions, your thermostats, sometimes your cars. If you've seen one of those interfaces where you touch something or you push a button, it's likely that it is a Linux-based system that you're playing with. So again, if you got questions, 303-632-4160, or run over to thecharlestendellshow.com, fill out one of the contact forms, get in and get conversated on the show. You can send me an email to charles@thecharlestendellshow.com, or you can download the 1690 KDMT app from your favorite app store and actually listen to the show live. You can shoot me a text message and you can ask questions that way. And you can check out some of the other people on the KDMT lineup. Connect and Collaborate, Experience Pros, all good stuff. Even over there on Jeff Thompson's show, on the Retirement Jock. Great people, great information, good stuff about business and finances all up and down KDMT, which is weird how the hacker ended up in the middle of all of this. But it's still fun. It's still entertaining. And it's still, hopefully, more and more people are listening. Which reminds me, while you're over on thecharlestendellshow.com, click the subscribe button. There are two big ones up at the top of the page. You can subscribe in iTunes, or you can subscribe to the RSS feed if you're on an Android phone. You can get connected either way and pick up on the past shows. Yesterday's show was all about imagining a Hillary versus a Trump White House. Last week's show, we were talking about sexting and how it can make you a felon. You know, we've been talking about how Tumblr got hacked, how LinkedIn got hacked. There's all sorts of great stuff. So go enjoy the smorgasbord of one wonderful hacker news that's over there at thecharlestendellshow.com. So Larry Bushy is my guest. And before the break, we were talking about getting the installation of Linux up and running. And my producer, Kelly, has had some amazing questions. He's been whispering in my ear, and he's been saying, you know, this is kind of cool. if the first thing that is popping out on my head is, how did you name the band? Is there a story behind why Linux got named Linux?
There is. It was developed by a student many years ago in Finland who couldn't afford a version of Unix at the time, and decided, okay, these are back in the days when the software writer, the companies that develop software didn't actually hold you hostage and say that you don't own the software. We're allowing you to use it for this $400, $500, $600 fee. This is back when software developers made their software available by default for people to use. And so he took the source code, which is the documentation, if you will, for Unix, and he wrote his own. His name was Linus, or as he pronounces it, Linus Torvalds, and it was a rewritten version, if you will, of Unix, and so he combined his name with the UX and came up with Linux, and so he wrote the kernel that's still in use today. Of course, it's many different versions down the road, but it was his invention. So Linus Torvalds, that's the story.
Right on. Yeah. Okay. So we talked about all the different things. We talked about resurrecting kind of old hardware. But is that the right way to go? Will it make my hardware faster? Will it make my ThinkPad T420? Will it make it more functional and more usable? And how much life can I actually get out of this? Can I expect it to be faster? What can I expect out of it?
Yeah, it depends on your hardware. And so the oldest hardware is going to seem a lot faster. Whether it is or not is really dependent on how good your memory is. Because when you first got it, when it first came with the original operating system, it was a speed demon, right? It was much faster than your older version of your older computer, and you were so impressed with it. By the time you were finished with it, it seemed like this sluggish thing that you don't know how you can use it. And so, yeah, bottom line is it will make your computer seem like it's running faster. It's not going to run any faster than it did when it was brand new. Well, maybe it might because Linux is a lot slimmer. It doesn't have the same overhead, depending on which version of Linux you've installed, as Windows or even OS X, because you can install Linux on Apple hardware as well. So it doesn't have all that overhead, and yes, it can make it run faster. It can give it better performance overall. I took Ubuntu Mate, the latest version of it, and they send you two upgrades a year, and those upgrades are coming for free and for the life of forever sort of thing. So you get all of those upgrades, and I installed it on my computer, and I installed it replacing a different version of Linux. I had Linux Mint on there. Switching to Ubuntu, I found that the battery life on my laptop was improved 40%.
Wow.
By using a different version of Linux. And what I found was I could have had that performance out of the old version of Linux. It's just that the Ubuntu Mate comes with software optimized for your computer, for a laptop in particular. And as part of that optimization package, they had pre-configured it so that it would extend the battery of life. And so the battery, and as a result, my battery life went from around three and a half hours to maybe five, something like that. So, it can definitely improve the performance of your computer. And this is a new computer. This is not something that I've had hanging around for 10 years. This is not quite a brand new computer. It's about a year old. But even on a brand new computer, you install Linux on it. First of all, it's going to run better. Secondly, you're not going to be susceptible to the viruses and malware you are with Windows. Thirdly, if you want it to look like Windows, you can make it look like Windows. If you want it to look like OS X, you can make it look like OS X. If you want it to look like something unique, like, Linux.
Something out of the Matrix.
You can have it do that as well. And all of that's built in and easily switchable in a new user version of Linux like Ubuntu Mate or even Linux Mint.
I know. So you can get it out of the box. You can plug in a USB drive. You can try it before you buy it. So you're not actually making a commitment. So you're still going to be able to get access to most of the stuff you have on your machine, your files, your pictures, your music, and stuff like that. Your apps are all still going to be there. You're still going to have an open source audio player that's going to work and still going to sync with kind of your iPod or your Android phone. You're going to have web browsers that do everything.
They
won't be the same apps, right?
Yeah, but they won't be the same. All of the apps need to do anything you want to do.
Right. So you'll have alternatives to it. So it'll be a kind of a seamless switch. You'll have to learn a little bit more of the programs, but they're not so far off that you won't do it. And you touched on that it's more secure against viruses. It's more secure against malware. It's more secure against a whole bunch of host of other things. So it's more secure. So it's easier to keep the bad guys out of a Linux machine. So all of these things wrapped into one, they sound fantastic. They sound amazing. But the glaring question in my head is, I talked earlier in the week to an analyst, either it was this week or it was last week, about the fact that the U.S. government's kind of nuclear program still runs on, like, Windows 3.1 or runs on floppy disks and all this.
As well, yeah.
So why is it that three-letter government agencies and large corporations aren't switching to Linux at mass? Why are these guys still relying on this old system?
Well, the U.S. government is the problem. The Italian government has switched over.
Be careful, you can't say that too loud.
Switched over.
Sorry. U.S. government is the problem. Be careful.
Yeah, well, that's a broad-reaching statement. I didn't specify, did I? Oh, is that a black helicopter that I hear over here?
Oh, see, now here, as my buddy Peter on 710 KNUS and the Peter Boyle Show likes to say, that's thou the man in the unmarked Plymouth who's going to pull up and tap you on the shoulder just to say hello. So you got to be careful with the problem is the Fed. We all know it. But we're up against a break, so it's the last one coming out of the show before we end all of this. So don't go anywhere. We're going to finish the conversation about Linux, about who should be using it, why it's the better choice for most things. This is Hacked, the Charles Tendale Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
Money Talk, 1690 AM. You're listening to Denver's Money Talk, where you can hear New Venture on Wall Street with Pastor David Mitchell every Monday through Friday at 3 p.m. If you want to be a better stock picker, you won't want to miss a single show. New Venture on Wall Street seeks to instruct and educate you on how to make money in the stock market. Listen today and get ready to learn. New Venture on Wall Street every Monday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Denver's Money Talk.
Hi, this is Hugh Hewitt for Granite Transformation. If it's time to redo your kitchen or your bath, this is a product you really have to see to believe. Beautiful granite mosaic or recycled glass countertops measured and cut to fit right over your existing countertops so there's no messy tear out of your old counters. These are heat and stain resistant. They never need sealing. But most importantly, they are affordable and can be installed in most cases just one day. So give Todd Dutton and the staff at Granite Transformation the chance to earn your business. Call them today at 303-420-8920. That's 303-420-8920. I'm sure you'll be as impressed as I was. I've met Todd, so make sure you tell him that I told you to call and receive a free stainless steel sink and save an additional 10% just by stopping by their showroom. Let Todd and the folks at Granite Transformation save you time, money, and headaches. Call today at 303-420-8920. That's 303-420-8920. One of the great things I took away from my time in Colorado is the friendship with Todd. Make him your friend as well. Call 303-420-8920.
Point, click, bam!
ColoradoAutoMall.com. Thousands of cars, trucks, boats, RVs, and motorcycles virtually at your fingertips. Colorado Auto Mall. That's your Front Range dealer's inventory of new and used vehicles for the local shopper. Photos, descriptions, options, make, model, and body style. It's all there at ColoradoAutoMall.com. The research tool you need to find your next ride could not be easier to use. Your next ride is online and on sale at ColoradoAutoMall.com.
We now return to the Charles Tendell Show on KDMT, Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
And it's the last little bit of the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM. This is Throwback Thursday, and I'm talking to my buddy Larry Bushy about all things Linux. We've covered all kinds of great stuff about where it is, and you don't even realize there. It's in your smart TV, it's in your phones, it's in your thermostat, it's in your connected home, it's in all those other wonderful places. It's faster, it can resurrect old hardware, it's more secure, it makes it easier on you to try it before you buy it. Most of your software will work on it, and now we're going to dive off into that deep chasm of it's the government who's the problem and why they're not using Linux to do things better. Larry, welcome back. I hear you chuckling over there.
the government is the problem.
The government is the problem. That's going to be the buzzword. You know that, right? That's the one that people are going to tweet. They're going to, out of everything we talk about on the show, they're going to be like, see, everybody here's thinks the that the government is the problem.
Exactly. Yeah, and I am no flaming liberal here, but, you know, this is definitely a topic that bears some scrutiny. Why is our government still running nuclear sites and secure things on floppy-based old green screen hardware?
And you know what the other kicker is? The other kicker is they're saying that it costs $60 billion with a B. dollars a year to run this program, to continue these legacy systems, to continue running and maintaining and training people to operate computers from the 1970s. Now, these computers aren't they're Windows based. They're still running on 5-inch floppies, and all of this, most of it, could be custom coded for in a matter of minutes by go out on Fiverr and say, hey, I want to build a module for this. I'm not saying do that because, nuclear launch codes on Fiverr would be a bad idea, right?
Yeah, true.
Yeah, you go out there right next to what's the guy? It's Guapo's DDoS service, and you're like, hey, Guapo, can you also write me launch codes? Sure, but it seems like Linux would be an easier bet, and these guys want to continue to shovel money down this hole.
Yeah, one of the issues, and this is not just a government issue here about the adoption of Linux and why isn't it more widely adopted. Well, it is widely adopted. Chromebooks, which run Linux under the hood, have been outselling Windows computers for a few weeks, if not a few months by now. And so it is widely adopted. The problem Linux has is the fact that there's a lack of advertising, and certainly compared to the advertising budget that companies like Microsoft and Apple can afford, Linux, since it's given away for free, doesn't have a lot of room in that, profit margin, non-existent profit margin, to pay for advertising. And as a result, not a lot of people know about it. It is truly free. It is truly more secure. It is more beautiful, quite frankly, than I think Windows is. And I might be a little biased there, but it's certainly more secure. It's better supported. It is, it can save you a lot of money, and as a result, it can, it can improve your life. Think about it from that perspective.
That's a great thing. I mean, it's always been one of those questions that everybody asks. If Linux is so great, if it's easy, it's faster, it's more secure, it's an overall better thing, we're using it already, people are familiar with it. The two biggest reasons that I always hear people saying, I don't want to do that, is it's hyper complex, which it doesn't sound like it is. And trust me, I've had experience with Linux going way back. Like, you've not experienced pain and agony until you've compiled your own Gen 2 kernel. Okay,
right.
That's just killing yourself. Okay, that's worse than, huh? That's crazy.
That's crazy talk.
Right, that's crazy talk. Imagine the day that you're sitting at the DMV, right? And you're the last person. You've been sitting there for 3 hours. Your number just got called, and as you're sitting down at the desk, the computers go down. Okay? Yeah. That is like compiling Gen 2. It's a horrible experience when it comes to Linux, and that's the stigma that many people tell me, at least. They're like, you know, it's complicated. It's not going to do everything I want it to. It's not as fast as I think it should. It's just I don't want to learn another thing. I just want to pull it out of the box and have it work. And you're right. Well, you made the statement.
That's one of the advantages of Linux is you pull it out of the box and it just works. You don't have to go search for drivers for your video card or your new camera that you just bought. You don't have to install antivirus software. You know, Linux can get viruses, but it doesn't. Over the last 10 years, there have been so many fewer. There have been so many. Windows infections and viruses and malware that it's just mind-boggling. And over the last 10 years, Linux, you can
count them on one
count
hand.
The number on one hand. You know, count the number of infections on one hand, and none of them exist in the wild anymore because they're fixed right away. You don't have to wait for Patch Tuesday. As soon as it's fixed, it gets fixed, and you get the update. That's one of the things that makes it more secure. And so, anyway, back to the main thing that we started on here is the fact that, you know, Linux, yeah, it doesn't have the same level of advertising, so it doesn't show up as prominently when you're looking for software to run your computer. And who buys software to run on a computer other than an application these days? You don't buy an operating system.
Not
you go out and buy a computer, and it has an operating system already on it. And most likely, it's Windows. And you can go out and you can buy, right there in Denver, System 76. Look them up. System 76, they make computers that run Linux. And they're based right there locally in Denver. I'm here in
Flat
California,
out.
And I own a System 76 computer.
Now, see, I'm a huge advocate for switching people to Linux. Like my parents have had this I don't even know how old it is anymore, this Dell computer that has been sitting in their den forever. And it was their home computer. It was their primary machine, so on and so forth. So this thing is old. This is the machine that my mom used to connect to AOL. Back in the day.
Yep.
Okay, so this is an old machine. And my father brought it out one day. It had been sitting there, and my older brother wanted to use a computer. Now, this is in the last 10 years. I went and installed Linux Mint on it, and this is an older version of Linux Mint on it, and I had completely forgotten about it, right? I installed this, yep. I want to say, five, six years ago, okay, and completely forgotten about it. Well, I was at my parents' house recently, and my older brother shows up, and it was just a good day. I think it was Mother's Day. Everybody was having a good time. Everybody was having dinner. And my older brother goes and he sits down and he powers up the machine and it booted up. He was back online doing everything he needed to. And that machine was still running and kicking years later with no issues, no viruses, no malware, no hacker attacks, no craziness going on for 5 years straight. And the experience wasn't all that bad. Now, this is a five, six-year-old operating system. And that's the things that I see a lot with Linux. You know, I hand it to people. I mean, you and I talked about it. Resurrected a bunch of T420s with Linux, and it runs like a champ. It runs almost as fast, if not faster, than my brand new MacBook Pro.
Right. It's easy to install. It's easy to use. It's easy to customize to make it look like or do whatever you want it to do. And if you don't want to customize it, it's designed to work out of the box for you, and it's free. What more could you ask?
I see. Okay. So the bottom line, the reason people aren't doing it is because they don't have the advertising, they don't have the marketing. So people were telling you right now, go out, download some Linux, okay, have your geek friend. Matter of fact, you know what I might start doing? Depending on the number of people that do it, I will give away Linux USBs. I will give away various different versions of Linux USBs. If you send me an email to hacked@thecharlestendellshow.com or go over to thecharlestendellshow.com, fill out a contact form, or download the 1690 KDMT app from your favorite app store and shoot the show a text message, right? Live stream it, shoot the show a text message, and you subscribe. I will send you a Linux distro of your choice. I will say I will take all the costs out of it, even though it'll be like $3, and I will mail you a Linux USB that all you have to do is plug it into your computer, power it off, power it back on again, and hopefully, most times, it'll boot into the Linux environment and you can just toy with it and play with it. And next time I have Larry on the show, he can give you some additional pointers about how it all works. So yeah, there's a plug.
If you want a video with instructions on how to do it once you get that live CD or live DVD or a USB that Charles is going to provide you for free, go to goinglinux.com, look for the screencast. Number 4, installing Linux, it says from a live CD, but it's basically the same thing from the USB.
So the goinglinux.com, you can watch the videos, right? And it's one of those things where it's not as complicated as it sounds. It's not as hard. It's not as difficult.
Not complicated at all.
Right. You're already using it. If you've got an old machine or you're tired of your current machine, just viruses and bugs, and you don't want to go out and shell out thousands for a Mac, let's build you one. You'll have the same people. You'll have the same connections. Facebook's not going to change because it's what most people are using. And like he said. Google Chromebooks are amazing. You know, we actually started issuing them in our company because everything everyone was doing was going to be via Google Docs, right? Everything was going to be Google Docs. We were a Gmail company. Now, if you've been listening to my show before now, I genuinely distrust Google. 100% between Google and Facebook, they are evil. And if you care about your privacy, limit the amount of use or add some additional steps when using all of their services. But for an introduction to Linux, if you want to see how beautiful, how streamlined, how fast it can be, most of you are probably already using it. You can go to Walmart, right? Right there? You can go to Walmart now and buy a Chromebook.
Yes, you can.
And they're like, they're like $200, aren't they? And
you get one for under that, too, when they're on sale.
Yeah, and their claim to fame is you can do everything you would do on a normal computer, and if this computer breaks or otherwise fails, you can go out and spend another $200 and you've got another brand new computer, just log in, and everything that you had there is still there. So Chromebooks are pretty cool. Just use a little more privacy-centric stuff if you're going to use it, and I'll explain that in another show. But Larry, we're getting ready to come to the end of the show, so I want to give you time. Tell people how they can get a hold of you, where they can get on the Going Linux podcast, and where they can learn more about this great system.
Okay, so goinglinux.com is the website. We've got articles, we've got show notes for our podcast, and a place to subscribe there as well in iTunes or whatever you use for listening to podcasts. And if you want to send me an email, just email me at goinglinux@gmail.com. Yes, I use Google.
gmail.com.
And if you want to be on the show, just let me know and we'll arrange something. If you just want to share with me your Gone Linux story, how things worked out for you, I'd be absolutely overjoyed to read it. And even if you want, read it on our podcast.
All right, on. So let's recap real quick. Linux is a good thing, named by a guy named Linus Torvald way back when because he wanted a free operating system. So it started off free. It still is free today. It's more secure. It can revive and make your existing systems much faster. You can use it to do almost everything that you're going to be doing on your normal stuff. We know the government is broken, and they're the reason it's not being used there. Try it. Check out goinglinux.com. Larry, you've been a fantastic guest, man. I loved having you on, and I will definitely have you back. Coming up later, or today is Thursday, tomorrow is Friday, we're going to be talking about responsible disclosure. We're going to be talking about analysts who are putting themselves out there to protect your security and your privacy and keep ending up in jail. Don't go anywhere or see you tomorrow. This is Hacked, the Charles Tindall Show on Denver's Money Talk 1690 AM.